Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, we were talking about praising the Lord earlier and asking for praise requests and prayer requests and praise reports and all that happy stuff. And, you know, I gave a praise to the Lord for, you know, keeping us safe during our travels and everything like that. And I just thinking about it, I want to praise Him again. We're getting to the point where we start planting and growing. And that's a good thing, putting in a garden and having the ability to do that. And I'm looking forward to it. And you say, well, that's a lot of work. Well, sure it is, but it's worth it. Everything that's good is worth going to have some work to it. But I'm looking forward to it. All right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together with for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, Father, thank You for the Word of God. And I just pray that You would help me to be a blessing this morning. And I pray You'd challenge the heart of Your people. And Lord, I pray You'd lift our hearts toward heaven and our spirits toward You. And Lord, help us to see what we need to see today. Bless the preaching of Your Word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there is so much in that chapter that we could look at, and we will look at some of this in here, but it has always amazed me to think about the love of God. So many people talk about the love of God, and you know, the idea of the love of God for them has the idea of the love of God forgiving your sins, and God still loves me even though I'm not perfect. And there's that's certainly part of it. But do you realize that the love of God goes so far beyond that? It's just amazing, and I think sometimes we don't comprehend it. We don't understand. You know, and I believe it's in Colossians talking about us knowing the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. There is a love that can be known, and it's beyond human understanding, but it's there. And you know it's there. To know it, to experience it, to have it, to be able to grasp it and see it as truth, even though it's beyond your ability to explain. It's the love of Christ, the love of God. And you know, when I read this, every time I read Ephesians chapter 2, it always amazes me. He talks about you hath he quickened, we were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time you walked. In time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so none of us can say that we, you know, we can't look at the world out there, the children that now look at the walk according to the spirit of disobedience, that spirit that works in them. We can't sit down there and look our nose down at them because we were them. Amen. And if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you still are them. And you will die and you will go to hell if you don't trust the fact that Jesus shed His blood for your sins. If you don't put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone as your Savior, you have no hope. You are a slave of the devil. You are by nature a child of wrath. And I'm not any better than you. You walk now according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, that is you. You work in the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil. The course of this world is the devil's idea of what this world should be and the way people should behave. And you're given over to the flesh. And you say, but wait a minute, I'm in church, I'm religious. The devil is a very religious person. He started a heap of religions. He doesn't mind religion at all. He just doesn't want true religion. See, true religion is when the grace of God changes who you are. You know, it takes you from being a selfish person to somebody who visits the widows and the fatherless. Right? Somebody who cares about other folks. Cares about other souls. And are there for people in their affliction. And we have a different way of looking at the world. We see things differently. But we were there. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you are still there. One day my life was lived according to the dictates and the will of the devil. My goal is that my life now always be lived according to the will of God. But the bottom line is, we were all there. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who we were. And if you're saved, you are no longer that. You're a child of God. And verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. God who's rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. God's great love. His great love wherewith He loved us. Now, I want you to understand something that when we look at the love of God and we see what the Bible says about the love of God, sometimes I don't think we take it all in. And sometimes I don't see we take it all in and understand it enough to where we can see the love of God regardless of what's going on in our lives. There is one thing that I have learned to do. I have learned to see and recognize and understand the hand of God in my life. And understand when He's speaking to me. And I see His love. But I want to take a minute and talk about God's great love this morning. And you know, we look at what he says about it, but God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together by grace. Are you saved? You know, that's an amazing thing that he would save us at all, because we don't deserve to be saved. But take us from being dead and quickening us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and he quickened us. Made us alive. Right? And then he said, he gave us life. He gave us mercy, and through that mercy and the shed blood of Christ, he gave us life when we put our faith and trust in Christ. And even though we were dead in sins and trespasses, we were dead. We were spiritually dead. And he made us alive because he's rich in mercy and he has great love wherewith he loved us. And then he said that he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So though I am not yet in heaven, and yet I have access to heaven in Christ. That's why the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. That we, through the blood of Jesus, we have a new and living way into the very holy, into the holiest of all, into the very presence of God, because Christ is there and we are there in Christ. One day we'll be there physically, but now, just assuredly, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, your choice on that is to trust your eyes or believe the Word of God. Trust your feelings or believe the Word of God. But when I think about that, and I think about God's love, that I have access to heaven, I am not, my redemption is not finished yet, Brother Donnie. I live in a depraved, corrupted body. It has not yet been redeemed. It is not, this body is not fit to go to heaven. That's why when I die, if I die before Jesus comes back, what does the Bible say is going to happen? I'm going to be absent from the body. And I have to be absent from this body to be present with the Lord, don't I? And I cannot be present with the Lord in this unredeemed body until Christ comes back. And if I die, the dead in Christ will be raised up, right? Incorruptible, and then we that are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, the Bible says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. I cannot get to heaven in this body, but I still have access to heaven. Amen. What a miserable life it would be if we had no access to heaven until we got there, until we were changed. And we say, you know, God, He's left us here and He saved our soul. He's forgiven us of sins. And we wait to get to heaven one day, but I'm not waiting to get to heaven. I don't know why you are. If we do this service right, we're in heaven now rejoicing at His throne. If our hearts are right, if we're there, if we come through the blood of Jesus, we have access there. He's our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and we are seated in heavenly places in Him. I have access. God could have said, well, I've saved your soul, and when you die, you'll come up to heaven. But until then, don't call me, I'll call you. That's not what he said, did he? No. We have access because of the love of God. You've heard me say before that God didn't, we believe in eternal security, don't we? We believe that once a person is genuinely born again, they're saved eternally, right? We believe that we're kept by the power of God through faith in the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We believe that. We believe that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believe. Alright? We believe salvation. We believe when Jesus said He gives everlasting life, it was everlasting life, not conditional life. Right? We believe that. So, just as you've heard me say before, that God could have saved us, and He didn't have to make us His children, Brother Larry, but He does that. That's another aspect of the love of God, that He adopts us as His children. That's an amazing thing. But I'll go further and say this, God could have saved us and just left us here and said, there's no access to heaven. I've given you my spirit and He'll guide you, but you don't have any access to heaven until that day when I call you home, either through death of your body or through the coming of the Lord. And that day, boy, that's going to be a good day. We'll all be together then. That's not the way it is, is it? No, we have access. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have access to the Father. We can pray. We can call on Him. And I know we don't think much of prayer, but that's a long way. Heaven's a long way off. And we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's an amazing thing to me. Then he says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Then he talks about how we're saved by grace, but that in the ages to come, in that time to come, God's not just the time since this was written, but all the time in the future that God is going to show His kindness to us. Not just the kindness to save us, but to continue to show that kindness, to show us that kindness throughout all eternity. Throughout all eternity. It's just an amazing thing when I read that. Do you understand the love of God, how much He loves you and what He's going to do? And he goes on and says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now we are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, and we're supposed to do good works. But the simple fact is that God's ordained that we should walk in them. But, you know, we don't do that in vain either, do we? God takes care of us. Remember the parable of the people that went out to do the work? He went out and got people to do the work, and he went out some hour and this hour and this hour, and he got to the end of the hour, and those that had been called late and got, and the picture there is salvation, they got saved late, they don't receive less than that inheritance we talked about this morning that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. If somebody got saved and been saved 70 years and laboring for the Lord, and somebody gets saved today, whatever the case may be, their inheritance is the same. They get paid the same. That's just the goodness of God. Amen. That's just the goodness of God. And yes, but not only that, He gives us the opportunity throughout our life, however long it is, to gain a reward, didn't He? And you know, I think that reward has to do with the heart in which you do things, not just the fact that you do something. You know, that old thief on Calvary's cross, when he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. All he had left to do was to die for Jesus. And we don't have a whole lot about that fella, but I don't know. He heard Jesus praying and for his enemies and everything during that time on the cross, and that one of them looked at him and said, "If you're the Christ, if you're the Christ, you know, save thyself and save us." And the other one looked at him and said, "Don't you fear God? Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we in thee justly, for we receive the just reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He has never sinned, and he's there." And he said, you ought to understand that. He said, you and me, we're here because we deserve to be. But he doesn't. Then he looked and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And I don't know, all he could do for Jesus was die. But Jesus gave him that promise, didn't he? "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Well, that is the amazing goodness of God. Amen. And for all we know, he may have started praying for those people that were looking on at his crucifixion. But he looked to Jesus, didn't he? And Jesus answered him, and it's just God's goodness. And it's just an amazing thing that he couldn't do a whole lot of good works. But he had that promise, didn't he? That's just the goodness of God. And he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." We had no hope. Zero hope. He had no hope. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Being brought near to God. And he looks at that, and he talks about the things that he's done. You go all through that, and how we're no, verse 19, "We're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We're all there together. And it's just an amazing thing to me when we look at that. That it doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're all going to be one thing. And God, of course, we know that God has a plan for the nation of Israel, and he's going to fulfill that plan and everything like that. But you and I don't really deserve, we don't have any claim in that. We're grafted in. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. It's just an amazing thing to have that type of access and understand that. And, you know, I want you to think about God's love. You know, Jesus says a lot of different things. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Right? You know, we set great store in our loved ones, don't we? And it's we feel often so bad when they're gone. But all our lives, even from little children, we know that that love is a temporary thing in the sense of the ability to receive it and express it. It's a temporary thing. Everything in this world is temporary. The relationships we have. There's only one relationship that goes beyond this world that is not temporal. And if we have any relationship with our loved ones, the only way that relationship ever will continue is through him, isn't it? Think about the love of God that these temporary relationships that we have, God has given us the means and the ability to extend those relationships throughout all eternity. Otherwise, you die and that's it. It's over. Every one of us has faced the death of a loved one. But it's only in Christ that we have hope. Amen. Isn't that what he said when he said, He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Right? And he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them that are asleep. Right? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall be caught up with him to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that wonderful? The one relationship that's eternal has made it possible for our other relationships to be eternal. That's the love of God. And we also have the means and the ability to share that love with them, the love of God in the gospel, so that that opportunity can become a reality. We get to have a part in it. Got loved ones that are lost or you think may be lost, we ought to tell them about Jesus. We ought to tell them about Jesus. Do you value those family relationships? If you don't tell them about Jesus, you really don't, because they're going to end. He said, but they'll never listen to me. You don't know that. You don't know that. But isn't that the love of God that gives us the chance to salvage all these other relationships? I look forward one day to meeting a mama I never knew. I mean, I don't know her heart, but I know she made a profession of faith and it was genuine. I'll see her in heaven. But she won't be mama, she'll just be sister. Amen. Everything the devil worked to destroy in my family, her being passing herself from man to man, leaving behind children. Just a messed up world, isn't it? But God can salvage that. Tell me that's not the love of God. You ever thought about the great love of God wherewith He loved us? What an amazing thing. And then I get to the end of the chapter. It says, now you therefore, verse 19 says, now you therefore no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And then look at verse 21. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In the book of Revelation, you read about the holy city, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of God, from God, out of heaven. And you look at the gate, and the gates have the names of the children of Israel, right? And you look at the foundation, and the foundation has the names of the apostles of the Lamb. And you look at the different aspects of that, and that city typifies and shows the work of God, because it's called the bride, the Lamb's bride, the Lamb's wife, the bride coming down to heaven, that new Jerusalem, that new city. We see that city there. Now listen. You going to make it, brother? sound a little tough there for a minute, like it was going tough. But we see that picture of that. We read about that in Revelation. And we read about the people going in and out of that city. And the city itself pictures what's written here. We're built upon that foundation of the apostles and prophets, but we're building up to a habitation of the Lord, a dwelling place, a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And that city pictures is a picture of the believers, or what we would call the church, or the body of Christ, or the bride, or whatever you want to call it. That city does that, and the city is for us to live in. But we're for God to live in. We become His dwelling place. That city is going to be such a place. It's going to be such a beautiful place. We read about it. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." But everybody that is there will have a body that's quickened by the Spirit of God. God will literally dwell in us. He, our life, Christ is our life, and everything that we do, our new bodies will be bodies, glorified bodies, and they will be quickened not by the blood that runs through our veins, but by the Spirit of God Himself. And there'll be no more failure, no more sin. You won't have to say, "Lord, please forgive me. I've sinned against you, Father. I sinned against you. I did thus and thus, and it was wrong. And Lord, I know I need to change. And I just pray you help me change and help me desire to change." And you'll never shed another tear because you looked at your life and you wept over the damage that you had done to it and the way you had disappointed Him. Never shed another tear that way. That's the love of God. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall evermore endure. The saints and angels' song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the service today. Father, help us to see what we need to see. Help us to see your love, to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Help us to that end. Lord, please help us to not just see it and say, "Oh, I know that," but to know it, to experience it, to see it, to feel it as the reality that it is, and to rejoice in it. That great love wherewith you've loved us when we didn't deserve it, and yet today we don't deserve it. If we do any good, it's because of what you've done in us. Lord, help us to just every time we take a step forward and get the victory, to see it as the love of God for a poor lost sinner. Help us look forward in anticipation to that love. Help us to take advantage of your love by coming and doing what the Scripture says, to have that boldness to just come into the holiest of all, into your very presence. Come before that throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Help us to share that love with others. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you love us the way you do. Such a great love wherewith you've loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.